I'm so glad you all are here tonight, and even the visitors, we're especially thankful that you're here too. Before we get started, I need to address a little family business type thing, and like I said, if you're a visitor, guess what? You're already family, so you get to hear it too. This kind of involves everybody. Serenity Church is not your normal church. Let's just go out there and go out on a limb and say, you know, we're really not your normal church. And we have people from all walks of life come in and try to get their lives together, and a lot of guys get on their feet and then they find them a Sunday morning church, and we're okay with that. We look at ourselves a lot of times like a triage, an emergency room. With that being said, we have people that come in that we've had. I remember one night when John was preaching, there was a drunk man on the front row that just gave him fits. We have things like that that happen here. We have people that are just coming off their drugs and their alcohol. And one thing that makes Serenity Church unique is you might just say that we're the only church in the Metroplex that you might see somebody vape. And so, with that being said, I'm one of those people. I vape. But I want to suggest something for us that use the vapes. Let's be courteous. Let's be courteous to those who may not. If you vape, maybe sit in the back when you're in a meeting. Be courteous around and thoughtful about who you're sitting with. And I just wanted to make mention of that. I hate doing that, and I hate to even say anything about it, but we are a unique church. And I was talking the other day about our Overcomers meeting in Decatur, and it's the highest attended meeting in that town. Like, there's more people. I went to NA last night, and it's nowhere close. I went to AA earlier in the week. It's nowhere close. There's more people that attend our Overcomers meeting than any meetings in Decatur. And it's a vaping meeting. So we say, you know, we're those Christ-based fellowship that you can vape in. All those other ones you can't. So we think that's kind of funny. But anyway, enough of all that. The first thing I want you to do is raise your hand if you don't have a bulletin. We'll get one of those in your hands. There's somebody that's going to come around and give you one. If you need a Bible or pen or anything like that, raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one. Last week, I introduced to you a way to get our church app, and you can take notes on that. And so, as those are getting passed out, I want you to look at the title of this, Tired and Tempted. Tired and Tempted. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I'm tired. I particularly don't feel very well tonight. And because of you, I'm not tempted in any way. I've had people praying for me since I walked in the door tonight. So I would like to ask, and a lot of times I like to start out with a question, and I ask myself this same question, and this is in your notes. Make sure Ken and these guys over here get one too. All right. This is in your notes. If you'll turn to your inside right-hand side of the page, you'll be able to write some stuff down. And I want you to think about this. When am I most vulnerable to attack from our enemy? I would say when my mental or my physical body is not at peace. And see, like I said, I'm there right now. My physical body is not at peace, and thank God I'm here. But if I wasn't here, I would have to take a look at myself, and if you've been in recovery at any time, you may have heard halt. I'm most vulnerable when I'm hungry. When I need some food, my thinking's not clear. That's the only thing I'm thinking about. You know, I worked for Metro Relief a while back, and we were going out. They were going out, and Metro Relief is an organization that feeds the homeless. And what they said is, we can feed them, but if their mind is so focused on where they're going to get some food, they can't receive Christ. And so when we would go out, we would cure the hunger element, and then we were able to talk to them about Jesus. When I'm hungry, when I'm angry, I need to pause. It's not easy to do. I need to pause. And I started thinking about how we teach, we're teaching Emerson. When she gets really upset about something, and we've been doing this with her, and her mother's been doing this with her. Emerson's my granddaughter. And she gets upset, and we'll say, take a breath. Take a breath. And she's been doing it since she's about a year old, and she'll take a breath. Man, I need to take a breath sometimes when I get angry. Lonely. I'm going to tell you right now, this is the thing that kicked my butt. I felt utterly alone. I was out there doing the thing, doing what I wanted to do, but it wasn't until everybody that truly loved me would have anything to do with me anymore. And I found myself completely alone. Alone stinks. Lonely. I need to call somebody. In our Overcomers meetings, and most every meeting that you might attend in recovery, you will leave there with a list of phone numbers that people, they wrote down on an envelope or a piece of paper, or maybe there's one already printed up. These people wouldn't put their name on that paper if they didn't expect you to call when you felt lonely. And we're all going to feel that at some point. So it's imperative that we have friends. It's imperative that we have people in our life that we can call, that we trust, that we can say, hey, man, I just ain't right. I need to talk. I don't feel good. My mental state is not right. My physical body hurts. And then I'm tired. Anybody tired? Yeah, I saw a few hands come up right quick. Tired. Man, it's hard out there. It's hard out there. I know many people working, you know, 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. They don't have any time. They have kids. I remember a time where I had 4 different kids in 3 different schools. I was running every day to Dallas, helping people get into rehab, and then I had to be back in time. I remember those days, how tired I was. And if I didn't have those meetings and the people that I surrounded myself with at all times to help me through those times. But when I get tired, I have to rest. I have to stop. At some point, you got to block out time to rest. Jesus dealt with all that, with every bit of it. You know, he was human. He felt all those things I just described. He felt angry. He felt alone. He felt tired. He felt hunger. If you'll turn to Matthew 4, in Matthew 4, this is right after Jesus was baptized. And I tell guys all the time, like, you know, when we have the baptistry set up here and they're feeling the Holy Spirit, and they go down into the water and they come up and they feel brand new. You've been made brand new. But I also warn them, you now have a bullseye on your back. See, before he had you, He didn't worry about you. Our enemy had you already. But now you have publicly given your life to Jesus. And he hates that. And so he's going to come at you every way he can. And he did this to Jesus. Right after Jesus was baptized in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Let me read this to you. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert. How many of us have been in a time in our lives where we may have mentioned, man, I'm in a dry spot. I'm in a desert. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert alone to be tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing for 40 days and nights. 40 days and nights he ate nothing. See, I've tried to fast, and I make it a couple days, and I'm feeling sick. My physical body feels sick. I've got to eat. I've got to eat something, but Jesus has gone 40 days and 40 nights. After this, he was very hungry, you think? Might have been a little bit hungry. 40 days out there alone. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm hungry, I don't sleep very well either. So I believe he was tired and lonely too. The devil came to Jesus to tempt him, saying, if you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread. How easy would that would have been? I'm starving. Then Jesus answered, it is written in the scriptures, a person does not live by eating only bread, but by everything God says. Then the devil led Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and put him on a high place of the temple. The devil said, if you are the Son of God, jump down, because it is written in the scriptures, he has put his angels in charge of you. They will catch you in their hands so that you will not hit your foot on a rock. What I just read was the devil, our enemy, quoting scripture. He twisted a little bit, though. He twisted. And in our state of minds, it sounded right. But Jesus said, it also says in scriptures, do not test the Lord God. Then in verse 8, the devil led Jesus to the top of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. The devil said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. You know, the first time I read that many years ago, I was like, how can you give me anything? You don't own it. I mean, I know this is your domain, but God owns all this. I will give you all these things. And Jesus said to the devil, go away from me, Satan. It is written in scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. So the devil left Jesus, and the angels came and took care of him. See, in the time that Jesus was tired, hungry, lonely, tempted, how did he overcome the attack? How did he overcome the temptation? Write this down. He knew scripture. See, even when Satan tried to flip the scripture around a little bit, he knew better because he had studied the scripture. We can overcome these same attacks in the same way. See, this whole month, we've been talking about Sabbathing. Cool word. Cool word. It's really a word. It is a word. I Googled it again. You know, there's been, that's not a word. This is a word. Sunbathing, Sabbathing. I Googled it again, and I found something else. Sabbathing. Studying Scripture is a central component of Sabbathing. For many who observe it, as the practice involves ceasing from ordinary work to worship God, which includes private and public Scripture study, prayer, and reflection. So I want you to write this down. Sabbathing, Bible study, prayer, and reflection. Let's look at Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus teaches about prayer here. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray so people will see them. I tell you the truth, they already have their full reward. But when you pray, you should go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret and will reward you. Is Jesus saying, don't pray in public? No. That's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is when you do pray in public, don't pray to these people. Pray to God. See, I've been notorious for trying to teach people to pray in public. She's one of them. When Jesslyn first started coming to Metro, Serenity Church Metro in South Dallas, and we prayed every morning there on the parking lot before we got started, One morning, we're in our circle, and I said, Jesslyn, how about you do it? And she had never done it before. And so I told her, I said, listen, here's the deal. When you pray, pray what's on your heart, in your mind. And when you can't think of anything else, you're done. Because at that point, you're trying to think of something else to sound more eloquent, to sound more spiritual, whatever it may be, for us. So if there's not another thing that you can think of to say, guess what? You're done. And so your prayer may be just, God rocks. That's a prayer of praise. When I was a youth pastor, I had, excuse me, I had a pretty large group at the time. It's a really good group for Serenity Church, and 30 or 40 kids, and I was teaching them and getting them over the fear of praying in public and praying out loud, and that's where God Rocks came from. Because I told them, man, when it comes around to you, if you just say God Rocks, you did it. And then eventually, they got to a point where they would say a prayer. Prayer of praise. See, last week, I said that every time that I get up here, I have a storm in me. This is one of the most scariest things I've ever done. And it messes me up all day on Saturday. I don't eat anything all day. And I pray. And for years, each time before I come up here, I find a restroom in the building we're in. And I go in that restroom and I turn around backwards on the toilet seat. And I pray, God, you know who you're working with here. And I need your help. I need you to show up. And he's never failed me. He gives me the strength and the courage to stand up here and do this, even though that there's a storm going on inside me. That's Sabbathing. I never knew I was Sabbathing when I went into that restroom. Sabbathing. Bible study, prayer, and self-reflection. Self-reflection being a component of Sabbathing. I'm learning stuff as I'm writing this down myself. And if you'll look at page 86 in the big book, and maybe you just write that note down, page 86 in the Alcoholics Anonymous book. I'm going to read this to you. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, or what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into remorse or morbid reflection. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures we should take. Reflect and pray. I never knew that every time I did a 10th step, I was Sabbathing. That's part of it. That's part of it. All these are different components. Logan, every time you do a 10th step, you're Sabbathing. You do now. So when we're tired and tempted, I found that these three things bring me peace. And it's a way to fight the enemy. Read the Bible. The Word. Scripture says in Hebrews 4:12 that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. See, we're in a fight. This is not an easy battle. And I don't know about you guys, but I like to show up with a weapon. I got a better chance. You know, my boys, when they were growing up, and they, you know, I don't know about most of you guys, but I know that having boys, they tend to get, you know, in their teens, and they start feeling big, and they're a man now, and they want to try you. And so then when Colton and Travis got as big as they are now, I'd tell them, I'm like, well, you can try me, but now I'm going to pick up something to hit you with it. We're going to even this up. That's what the Word is. It's our weapon. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Prayer. In a fight, we need some power. We need some power. You know, if you're in a fight and you haven't got rest, or you're weak. So where does the power come from? Prayer. And other people. I experienced it today. I came in here today and my body's weak. I don't feel good right now. And I was thinking, how am I going to stand up here? My head's going thump, thump. My stomach's messed up, and my whole body just doesn't feel well. And I guarantee you, I wasn't here 10 minutes. I had 10 people pray for me, and then we went back here in this prayer room, and there was 20 people in there, and they gathered around me, and they prayed. And I just knew. I knew by the time that I had felt the power of their prayers that I could do it, that I could stand here. James 5:16 says the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I'm living proof right now. I've had very righteous people pray for me. And it's effective. I'm here on the stage right now because you prayed. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. I thought this is going to be very hard and I might throw up or something else might happen while I'm standing here. But I'm getting through it. Then there's self-reflection. Where can I do better? Where can I do better? For me, I need every part of this. I need every part of this in my life to be able to just make it through a day, to make it through a week. It's funny, I had an experience earlier this week. Me and Travis went deer hunting. Woo! he got one. So we went to Cleburne and we hunted in the evening and saw just a couple of does. And then we came back to Decatur and we hunted in the morning. And we hunted in the evening and hunted another morning and we didn't see nothing. And it was the last set. We'd been sitting there about 3 hours and it was almost time to call it quits. Travis was bummed. You know, I got a trail camera out on this place and I see deer on the hour there, but for some reason they weren't there. And so Travis was in a family text and I heard I felt my phone go off and I opened it up and Travis was saying like, you know, it's just about time to go and didn't see anything, but it's been a great time to be out here and just be at peace with the Lord. And what a great time to read the Bible. And we probably got about 20 more minutes. And so I looked over at him and he's reading the Bible. And I was like, me too. I pulled it out and I start reading and we're about 10 minutes into, we're not talking, you know, you can't talk out there. If we're reading. Now, the corner of my eye, I see this buck come walking right out in front of us. I'm wondering if maybe the fact that I took the time just to put God in the middle of what I was doing, that we got blessed. Amen. Pretty awesome. I believe he works that way. So again, I got questions. Are you tired? Are you tempted? I want the band, Roger. How about Roger and Brett, man? They're doing good. Their next album comes out in mid-February next year. And iTunes, all that stuff. But there's storms, man. We have storms in our life. We have things that happen. Sometimes we just don't feel right, feel off, pause, halt. Are you Sabbathing in these ways? Are you studying the Word? Are you in prayer? Do you go into your closet or restroom and pray? Do you take a look at yourself? Do you do a personal inventory? Do you see where you could do better? Where you might can make some changes? See, on Wednesday, we have our Overcomers meeting. It's a great place to Sabbath. It's awesome. We get in there and we have a lot of self-reflection. When somebody shares some experience that they've went through, I can reflect back on my experience. Might be going through it right then myself. And I can understand how they made it on the other side. Here on Saturday night, we have Bible study. David Christian teaches the Bible class right here. Scripture. It's the sword. The word. That's how we fight this battle. With the word. If you'll remember, Jesus said, "It is written." Every time he was tempted, every time he was offered something, he went straight to the word. How important is it that we know what the word says? How else are we going to know what it says unless we're in it? Unless we're reading. Most importantly, prayer. Prayer. I've said this before. How important is prayer? So important. If you want a relationship with Jesus, that's how you talk to him. You talk to him. It's a relationship, but you got to be quiet and listen sometimes. He needs to talk back. Prayer, prayer, prayer. It's so important. And so tonight, we haven't done this in a while. And if you're a visitor, you guys that are not visitors, gather around them. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Stand up. Find you three or four people to gather around. You can come up here. You can come up here. You can get in the middle over there. If you want to go right here, go over there. I'll wait. Y'all act like y'all don't love each other. Find some people to get with and pray. There you go. There's some real sinners back there in the back, John said. There you go. Find you some people to pray with. Grab that lady right there. Don't leave her standing there by herself. Take a few minutes and lift each other up in prayer. I believe it's that important. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we have one another. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we can pray and listen and have a relationship with you. God, we all are going through some sort of storm. We all have those times where we're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Help us to fight that battle by seeking Scripture to overcome whatever it is that we need to overcome, God. Thank you for giving us a place here at Serenity Church with people we can lean on, people who love us.